Blog Talk Radio.
Continual protection of Detroit, Michigan from all natural disasters. Thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for allowing us to have do-overs, your love, your kindness. Thank you. We sheep also thank you for a peace of mind, for giving us peace. Sane mind, good health, wealth, wisdom, and knowledge. Thank you. Amen. Hi, your sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess. Now, most of your listeners know to have your notepad ready, your pen or pencil, your New King James Version of the Bible, a glass of water. And what you do is read along with me. We are reading from the Old Testament book of Daniel. We are in chapter 11, and we will finish. There are only 12 chapters in the book of Daniel, so hopefully in the next two or three programs we will finish reading the book of Daniel. This show is a do-over from yesterday, Saturday, September 15th. I apologize to you sheep. I apologize to God, our Father in heaven, to my listeners, you sheep, to Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to have this program, and to all whom I may have offended with my words yesterday. So, please accept my sincere, humble apology. Now, turn your book with me to Daniel, and that's in the Old Testament, and we will start reading from there. I pray that God will allow me to read all the way up to chapter, verse 28. Let's get started. Oh, chapter 11. Let's get started. One thing with, that I want you to know when you're reading chapter 11, it is a carryover from chapter 10, where there was this glorious man that appeared to Daniel to give Daniel the interpretation of his dream. And this dream is of the prophecies concerning Persia and Greece. And after I read chapter 28, if God allows me to, maybe I won't have to stop before then. I want to come back and explain some things that I think we sheep, or you sheep, should know. Let's start reading chapter 11, verse 1. Also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, the Medes were Iranians back in old ancient time. I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Now, you know, Greece is over by Rome. That's important. I'll come back later. Verse 3. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion, that another word is authority, and do according to his will or his power. And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. I want you all to remember the four winds of heaven. But not among his posterity. That means his kingdom is going to be divided, but not among his posterity, his generation, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these. Verse 5. Then the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his prince. So he won't be the only one that's strong. And he shall gain power over him. I'm thinking his prince will gain power over him and have dominion, authority. His dominion or authority shall be a great dominion. He'll have great authority. And at the end of some years, they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not remain in power or her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand, but she shall be given up with those who brought her and with him who begat her and with him who strengthened her in those days. So that kingdom, that king is going to lose power with her because he begat her, he bought her, he got her. That's what I'm thinking. Let's move on down to verse 7. But from a branch of her roots, one shall arise, and his place, who shall come with an army, enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. So one of her roots are going to fight against the king of the north, and he is going to be victorious. He's going to win. Verse 8, and he shall also carry their gods captive in Egypt with their prince and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Then the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but he shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife, and strife is conflict, and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. He's going to stir up conflict again. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him. Now, that's one of the northern kingdom, verse 10. King's son had strife against the king of the north, and he took some of his people, and he fought. He stirred up one of their cities. And let's go to verse 11. And the king of the south, because that son did what he did to one of his people in his territory, the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hands of the enemy. So the north king is going to lose because of his son stirring up that strife. Verse 12, when he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. And in those times, many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also, certain violent men of your own people shall exalt themselves. Wow, his own people, the king of the south, will exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the fortress of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land. The glorious land is Israel, I think, with destruction and power. That's the king of the north. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of the whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. That shall he do. And he shall give them the daughter of women to destroy it. But she shall not stand with him or be for him. So that, to me, that is saying the northern king will give to the southern king his daughter, but the northern king's daughter will not stand for that. She's not going to go along with that. So verse 18. And verse 18. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastland and shall take many. But a ruler shall bring the reproach. Reproach means scorn or shame against them to the end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Okay, so when the reproach of the northern king has been removed, he's going to turn back on him. I don't know if that's what's going on in the world now, but I'm thinking that the northern kingdom is over in Rome, what used to be Greece. Verse 19, then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Verse 20, there shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes. Well, now, I just thought that was the northern kingdom. And it is the northern kingdom, but I'm thinking that it's what's happening over in there right now with one of the servants to the Pope. But I'm wrong about that. When you read verse 20, it says here, let's start with verse 20. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. Again, that's Israel. And they did that, imposed taxes during the birth of Jesus Christ. So that's the time period I think that we're in. But within a few days, he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or battle. So I'm thinking that he will be destroyed with sickness or possibly poison. Verse 21. And in his place shall arise a vile person. Have you ever had something, tasted something vile in your mouth, and you just say, ooh, and you spit it out? Well, this is the type of person that comes after the one that had sickness or was destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. So let me go back to verse 21. And I was trying to explain to you what a vile person is. That's someone that is disgusting, something that you tasted that tastes terrible. Just think of vile and being in that way. And in his place, I'm at verse 21, and in his place shall arise a vile person in whom they will give, whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably, and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Intrigue is by scheme or plot. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully. You can't trust him. And he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peacefully, even into the richest places of the province of the kingdom. And he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil the riches, and he shall devise his plans against the stronghold, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him, or schemes. They're going to devise schemes against him, so the king of the south will not stand. Verse 26, yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper. And in the end will still be at the appointed time. Verse 28, while returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant. He shall do damage and return to his own land. Now, I thank God for allowing me to read up to verse 28, and we're going to start with our next reading, if it is God's will, with verse 29, and we're going to talk about the northern king's blasphemy. And in this area, this is where we're going to find out about who, possibly what is the abomination of desolation. Coming up in chapter 11, starting at verse 29. Now, what I want to do is go back and give you a little history of what I thought about when I read this about the four winds of heaven. Not only that, in verse 1 and 2, well, verse 2, it talks about Persia and Greece. Now, and in verse 1, it talks about the Medes. Well, the Medes were the Iranians, and Persians were like the Iraqis. And Greece at that time was in power, but the Romans took that over, if I'm remembering history correct. And this is why I have begun to believe that those of us who are in the Bible or try to tell what the Bible means, we should take an ancient history class. When I was in an ancient history class many years ago, I did not pay it any attention because I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing now. And had I paid attention, I would better understand what is being talked about. Now, the four winds of heaven, where was that? You found that in chapter 11, verse 4. The four winds of heaven, to me, that's just not the north, south, east, and west as far as directions. But I'm thinking that is religions too. I'm thinking that it's talking about Christianity, Islam, Hindu or Shinto, even atheism, because I just read to you in verse 28 that the king would go back to his land and do damage against the Holy Covenant. So to me, that's atheism. Now, and let's turn back to Daniel chapter 7. And we're in there. It talks about the four beasts. The four beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the dreadful beast. The lion is Babylon. That was destroyed, in my view. The bear was Persia. The leopard was Greece. And the dreadful beast that took over from the leopard is Rome and the Roman Empire. So we have the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and now the Roman Empire. And that's what I want you all to know, is that is not, when I'm thinking that it's not just the four winds that Daniel is talking about. We understand that we're being ruled by different types of empires and their beliefs that they want to impose on the whole world. So that's where we are. Well, we're going to come back, if it's God's will, this Saturday, and we're going to pick up reading Daniel chapter 11, verse 29. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to have do-overs and your continual protection from the evil one. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you for giving us peace, good health, wealth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Chief, I want you to remember to take God along with you everywhere you go. And I also want you to remember to purchase the book, How to Eat and Live Longer, by Dr. Reginald J. Eady. His last name is spelled E-A-D-I-E. He's one of the great doctors over at the Detroit Medical Center. If it's God's will, see, I'll talk with you next Saturday.
Won't let you die, and I know. help me. Ah, ah.